Well, this is the concluding session of this series, and we've been looking at the spiritual evolution of humankind, the evolution of spiritual consciousness in humankind, a process that's been driven by the progressive revelation of the divine will through the manifestations of God. And in doing so, we've been struck by two circumstances. The first of these, they're not the most attractive features of it by any means, but the first of these is, has been the tendency of humankind from the beginning at every stage to build a kind of stockade around their conception of the divine purpose and separate, and so that one, quote, religion would be separated from a successive religion and so on. And this, of course, has added to the divisions that already afflict the unity of humankind. But a further and very sobering, very, very sobering feature of this process has been the fact that over and over again, the people who, the segment of humankind who had been most spiritually advantaged, who had been the best prepared to respond to the next stage of the evolution, strangely enough, they themselves became the most rigid opponents of that process. In fact, they did this, of course, because their own leaders arrived at the point that they felt that they were threatened, that their power or their station in society or their wealth, whatever it was, and Baha'u'llah suggests there were different motivations. Because of this, these most advantaged people were the least capable of responding. And the Bible, of course, tells us that in that day the first will be last and the last will be first. Well, unfortunately, we have seen this phenomenon played out repeatedly throughout religious history. And as a result, Baha'u'llah over and over and over again throughout his writings calls for us to take a particular action, which is obviously very central to his purpose, central to the purpose of the evolution of human consciousness. He repeatedly says, reflect, consider, ponder, why, what would have led people to do so and so. So obviously, this is central. It should be central to our experience of our religion. This is not, religion is not something that should encourage us to simply settle down in some kind of a comfort zone. We're supposed to think, we're supposed to learn. Throughout all of this, despite all of the difficulties, the divine purpose itself was not deterred. The spiritualization of consciousness continued. The maturation of the human race went on. It was inhibited, it was delayed, and so on. But nevertheless, that process also continued to the present day, in which we have arrived at a stage in human history where the human race at last is able to see itself as one single people. Whether they like it, whether everybody likes that or not is another matter, but we are able to see ourselves as one human people. And that's possible for us, of course, as Baha'is, because of the covenant that Baha'u'llah has established through Abdu'l-Baha with his followers. But that very fact underlines the point that this is God's work. This is not because of our perfection, because we Baha'is are somehow superior, or the Jews were superior, or the Christians, or the Muslims, or any other special group of people. Baha'u'llah says, O people of Baha'u'llah, that there are none to rival you is a sign of mercy. It's a sign of mercy, not of your own deserving or something. But the perennial challenge of evolution continues. The perennial challenge of evolution is to be constantly open to change, to process, to development, and so on. But now it faces intensely the individual, not merely the societies as a whole, as in the past. And it does so within the process of the evolution of the cause of Baha'u'llah, and we took a look at the stages through which that cause has evolved, and we recognized that this is eternal. This is the eternal faith of God. What's the changeless faith of God? Eternal in the past, eternal in the future, moving from one stage to another until we become used to it, until we at last accept the fact that learning is, to learn is to be human. To learn is a process that never ends in this world and obviously not in the next world either. Now, most believers have opened themselves to the divine plan. We all recognize that the divine plan is created ultimately by Abdu'l-Bahá, that it's directed by the head of the faith, first the guardian, now the Universal House of Justice. So we know it's the plan that we should be proceeding, that we should be pursuing, and we are open to its requirements. They're demanding at every stage, but nevertheless, the Baha'i community has successfully met each one of these challenges, and it will go on doing so. But there have been a few Baha'is, and mercifully very, very few Baha'is, who have found it very difficult to do that. Almost, I won't say impossible, because nothing is impossible, obviously, with God, but many people have, who to some extent or other, have been slow to respond, have included a few people who simply weren't able ultimately to get their minds around it at all, or to associate their heart with it, or whatever the process was. And in doing so, they've missed the great opportunity of human life. And I hope that this series of sessions that we've had here will help us to focus a little more sharply on this challenge, because we're now at the opening of another new stage, a very challenging new stage, a series of plans that are going to take the Baha'i community through to the year 2021, which is will be the centenary of the conclusion of the heroic age and the opening of the formative age in which the kingdom of God is going to be constructed. The Baha'i community, we have to stop and think, the Baha'i community 10 or 20 years from now is not going to resemble anything we today can imagine. The things that will surprise us very much will be commonplace features of the cause of God in the future. What the cause calls on us today to do is to grow up, because the childhood of our community is passing away. God's been very patient, very tolerant, very generous with mankind as a whole, and equally certainly so with Baha'is. But humanity needs Baha'is to become spiritually mature. That's the stage that society has arrived at today, and that will entail us as Baha'is becoming steadily drawn into ever more deep engagement with the challenges that civil society around us is facing. So, not surprisingly, therefore, the present plan focuses on learning, and learning requires discipline. The plan is obviously systematizing our work. That's a little bit difficult for some people. The plan emphasizes the inner growth of the individual, not merely external activities, which we're quite good at, especially here in the West. It's a plan that emphasizes the inclusive nature of the faith, that Baha'u'llah has come for everybody, not just for us, and that therefore the very nature of Baha'i activities, the core activities particularly, the veil between us and them gets thinner and thinner and thinner as more and more people become engaged with the teachings themselves and facing the challenge. It requires us to be willing to escape our comfort zones. As comfort zones are one of the biggest challenges that people face in life. And really, if you look over past history, as we've done here, the human race hasn't done terribly well with freeing itself from comfort zones of the past. We can't repeat that history because we're living in a whole different stage in the development of humankind. We Baha'is are at a kind of boot camp, you might say. We're being trained like adults, not as the children or even early adolescents we were in the past. We are not a congregation. We are, in the words of the Guardian, the nucleus of a world commonwealth. And the excitement for the work of the faith in the future would be impossible to really sum up in any words today. Abdu'l-Bahá does it, as always, best of all, when he says to the Baha'i community, he says, you Baha'i community, you must be, I think we mentioned this in an earlier point in the series, he says, you must become the very soul of the world. You must become God's mercy to mankind. You must become God's grace. And he says, rise up with such qualities and capacities as to become the soul of the world, and thus to lead this young child, humanity, to the stage of its adulthood.